You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, welcome to the MLB Extras D-backs podcast. Tim McMaster here along with Steve Gilbert, our D-backs reporter, and it's been an interesting offseason already, obviously, for this team, and it's surely going to get more interesting this week for sure. There's a lot of things going on with this team, and I think the first question is the direction. We got to figure that out because they trade Goldschmidt away, and obviously that was something with 1 year left on the deal that they kind of had to do, but then you come to the point where is this a teardown or is this now we're going to patch up and continue to go? Because obviously this team has been competitive the last couple of years. So if you had to get your best take, where is this team headed this week?
Well, it certainly looks like right now they're at least talking about not doing a complete teardown. They understood they wanted to move Goldschmidt to get something for him since they felt they were going to lose him via free agency next year. So they're hoping that they can still maintain their being competitive, that they can maybe make a move here or there that helps them in that regard, some holes that they still have to fill that we'll talk about. But they're counting on the fact that it's not going to be a total teardown. Now, that could change, I guess, over the next couple of days, yeah, depending on what offers they get for certain prominent players. But as of right now, the plan is try to still be competitive in 2019.
Let's talk about those offers a little bit because that's more fun, right? One of them is obviously, or two of them, are the other starting pitchers, the big guys on that rotation. That's Zach Greinke and Robbie Ray. Zach Greinke has a partial no trade. John Heyman was reporting this week that that's been a bit of an issue as far as which teams they can deal him to. Is there something to that, that when you limit, you take his contract and then you limit the teams you can deal with, and then it gets really tough?
Yeah, and I think one of the things that players do when they do their no-trade clause, when you're a guy like Zach Greinke and you do make $32, $33 million a year, you can put a lot of those big market clubs on that no-trade clause, and effectively to your 15-team no-trade clause becomes a lot more than that. Yeah. So that does prove to be a challenge. Oh, and another challenge for the Diamondbacks is they don't seem right now, in talking with different people in the organization, inclined to eat any of that money or feel like they should, given his performance over the past couple years. So you put the no trade clause together with the salary, together with the fact that they're probably not willing to eat much, if any, of his contract, and it seems like it's harder for him to get dealt.
And then Robbie Ray is a guy that is a more affordable pitcher, and he's been really good. So then the issue is sky high, right? They want a huge return if they're going to trade Robbie Ray.
Yeah, they're not looking to deal him, but if they get an offer, because he has 2 years of control, left-hander, throws in the mid to upper 90s. I mean, you don't really see that as a starting left-handed pitcher these days. He had a little bit of some struggles last year, but the year before he showed really what he could do. It was kind of a breakout season for him. So he has that dominant stuff in there. He is somebody I'm sure a lot of teams would be interested in. Now, will they meet the Diamondbacks' price on that? Not so sure. We'll have to see what happens again over the next few days. But right. As of right now, it looks like both those guys will be back unless something changes and someone makes them an offer they can't refuse.
All right, let's move on to the other plan, which is plugging the holes and continuing to be a competitive team. And the big hole to fill is that Paul Goldschmidt at first base. Now, you can stay internal. You can go outside the organization. Starting internally, you have Jake Lamb. Is that a possibility? I think he's made 2 first base starts in his career. He's played 8 games there. It's not a big sample size at all. But when you look at the production you like to get from a first baseman, it seems like he's the one guy currently on the major league roster that maybe fits the mold.
Yeah, he's a guy that they're definitely talking about internally. Could they move him over to first base? They're also looking at what they could get maybe on a free agent market. You know, Justin Bour's out there. Mark Reynolds is out there. Matt Adams is out there. So they have some other options that they could turn to. Christian Walker's a guy who's put up really good numbers at AAA. They like him a lot. He can play first base. He might be a guy they take a look at. So they will have some options, some internal, some external. It just kind of depends on, you know, which direction they choose to go.
What if you move Lamb to first, then who plays third? Because that's a domino effect.
That's right.
Effect.
Then you have Eduardo Escobar, And that's one of the reasons why they signed him when they did early in the offseason to a very reasonable, I think it was 3 years, $21 million contract, because if Lamb shifts to first, he can play third. If Ketel Marte, and we're going to talk about center field, I'm sure, soon, if Ketel Marte slides to center field, Eduardo Escobar can play second base, and so you have coverage at a number of different spots.
Setting my transitions up for me. Let's move to the outfield. A.J. Pollock's been the guy in center field. He's a free agent. Chances are he's not coming back. So you mentioned one option, but what about other guys out there on the market? Are there some free agents that they would consider the price is right for center field?
Yeah, that's a little bit more of a difficult hole to fill for them. And Marte is somebody that internally they're talking about. That would certainly... he certainly has the speed to play out there. He's played some outfield before. Again, they'd have a ready replacement in Escobar to play second base. They could also bring back Daniel Descalzo and have him play some second base with Escobar. So that's going to be, I think, a little tougher replacement, at least from a defensive standpoint. And replacing Paul Goldschmidt at first base, that's a whole other story, of course. But I think that really bears watching to see how they're going to fill that hole in center field.
In the community, did everything you could ask, talked to the media, performed on the field, obviously, at an MVP-type level. He's gone. Is there a new face within that organization? What happens heading into 2019? Because that's something you have to consider the loss of as well.
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. I'm not sure that there is like a face in waiting of the franchise. So I think that's something that just kind of develops naturally. I don't think when Paul Goldschmidt was drafted in the eighth round, that people expected him to be the face of the franchise, or even when he came up in 2011. I mean, I don't think that people thought he was going to become quite what he became, and he, to his credit, worked hard and did that. So I'm not sure they'll have a face in 2019, but maybe they will. Maybe someone will jump from the pack and end up being that person that kind of stands out both in the community and on the field like Paul did.
And you need that leadership too, right? That's maybe the most important part of that.
Yeah, and I think that they, you know, that he's a key part of the leadership in that group. Jeff Mathis was a key part, and they, you know, losing both of those guys, that's, and Chris Owings too, and A.J. Pollock. So they do have some leadership to fill even more so, and that's probably more important than who the face is going to be, is who behind the scenes is going to be kind of a leader for his teammates.
Let's talk about the farm a little bit. You mentioned Duplantier. They have a nice little core of pitchers kind of on the way. He's the number one prospect, obviously, John Duplantier, but they have the Taylors, Taylor Widener, Taylor Clark. All these guys are on their way, if not this year, at least in the next couple of years. How high on them are the D-backs?
They really like those guys. I mean, Taylor Clark's a guy that they thought come and had a chance to contribute last year. Widener's a guy that they got in a deal from the Rays that they really like. They think he has a chance to maybe, if not win a spot in the rotation, to be a contributor during the season. Duplantier has obviously done really well. He pit, you know, and pitched in the Arizona Fall League recently. Yeah. So they have those guys. And then the core position player group that maybe might be the next wave, the Dalton Varshos, the Jazz Chisholms, they're maybe a year or two behind them kind of coming up through the system. So they kind of do have that starting to build maybe a little bit of a wave in the farm system. Obviously not as deep as they'd like it to be, and that's why they continue to make some of the deals that they'll probably make. They've got a lot of draft picks coming up. They acquired a pick from the Cardinals. Yep. They have a comp pick. They're going to get a comp pick for Corbin and probably for Pollock too. So there's going to be a lot of, and they have an extra first round pick because they didn't sign their first rounder last year. So they're going to have, this is going to be a key year for them kind of restocking the farm system even more.
I love that you can trade comp picks now. That was one of the best additions to the draft, because baseball was the one draft where it was, you picked when you picked and that was it. But now with that availability, it's kind of neat, and they're taking advantage of it with that. When Mike Hazen arrived, he seemed like he had a plan. Like, there was definitely, you got the vibe, there's a plan here, they're going to do this. And he wanted to win right away, and he's done that, but he also wanted to win for the long term. And now we're starting to see that, right? I mean, the players are in that system that maybe weren't there a few years ago.
Yeah, and what he's tried to do is, even while they've been trying to win, he has traded prospects, but he's tried not to trade the top of the top prospects that they have. And so they're trying to kind of continue to build that depth. Now, it takes time, obviously, to do something like that. And when you draft a guy, it's not like the NFL where they come right in. So you stockpile some picks and, okay, wow, now we got five guys from the last draft. But they are starting to kind of get that going now. And I think he's the key word that he uses a lot is sustainability. I mean, he used that in his opening press conference. He said it, you know, all the time since then, is he's looking to build something that's sustainable rather than just a 1 year here, a 2 year here, which has kind of been over the last 10 years or so kind of what's happened to the Diamondbacks. 2007 they win, then they drop off.
Right.
2011 they win, then they drop off. So they're trying to kind of avoid that, much of a drop-off and maybe continue to stay competitive.
The winter meetings always ends with the Rule 5 draft, and every once in a while teams kind of strike gold in that Rule 5 draft. Unfortunately for the D-backs last year, they were on the losing end of that because the Royals plucked Brad Keller from them, and he goes on and basically was their best starting pitcher last year. What's the plan for the D-backs this year? Is there more of a chance that they can be active selecting players in the Rule 5?
Possible. It's possible. It could be. They were pretty aggressive in protecting players this year. They said it wasn't as a result of the Brad Keller thing, but I'm sure that that had to somewhat factor into, you know, they lost a guy that turned out to be pretty good, at least last year. So they wanted to make sure that they, again, protected what they had on the farm and what they're building, because it's not just the top-end prospects, but also the depth that you build that way that can really help you out in the long run.
All right. It's going to be a busy week. Thanks so much, Steve Gilbert. For Steve Gilbert, I'm Tim McMaster. Thanks for tuning in to the MLB Extras D-backs podcast here from Las Vegas, the 2018 winter meetings. Join us again next time.